This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Diane Hill, the CEO of Women's Health Victoria. Good morning, Diane. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning, Macca. Lovely to be here.
Great. Look, Roe v. Wade, we've spoken with a number of guests about it. The implications of that for Australia we'll get to shortly. I wondered you if you can explain to our listeners your understanding of the implications of that for women in Australia, and particularly in Victoria.
Thanks very much, Macca. I think clearly the Roe versus Wade decision is really shocking for women in America, but it will have reverberations across the world stage and internationally. We know that what it shows is that it is possible to actually put enough pressure on and to advocate for these rights of women to be actually wound back. And that is a terrible thing. For women in Australia and women in Victoria, we're very lucky across the country that abortion has been decriminalised, and that in many parts of Australia abortion is available, but there are significant access issues. Our biggest concerns in relation to what's happened with Roe v. Wade is that it will potentially give organisations the opportunity to, if you like, re-prosecute the argument for having abortion rights in Australia. So the concern is that it re-stigmatises the issues. It re-stigmatises the issues for women who are looking to seek an abortion. It stigmatises the issues for the people who are working in the service system. So what we want to do is we want to actually have a conversation that says these are women's reproductive rights, these are human rights, and this is not up for debate in this country.
If I might, and that sort of answers my next question, but do you think this result in the US, is it going to re-energise the debate, particularly on the side of those who don't believe abortion should be a woman's right?
Look, I certainly think it will give some air to people who hold that view. But I think in Australia, you know, we know that more than 75% of people support abortion rights. We also know that we've just had a federal election where women spoke very clearly about gender equality. Now, we know that reproductive rights are a critical part of gender equality. So while it may actually, you know, reignite, as I said, some airtime for some groups, I think overwhelmingly, as a country, as a state, and in terms of even our bipartisan political support, there is an enormous amount of support for maintaining abortion rights, for protecting abortion rights, and what we want to make sure is we're not only protecting abortion rights, but we're making abortion accessible for all women, no matter what their circumstance and no matter where they live in Australia.
Diane, it's Tass here. Very interesting to hear what you're saying, and you know, we fully support what you're saying, of course. I'm interested in, and perhaps this might be a question that's a little bit beyond you, but because I'm not a constitutional expert and I don't really understand how these things work, but is there a similar mechanism here in Australia that could quite simply overturn the right for states to be able to deliver and decriminalise abortion in the way in which they have?
Now, Taz, I probably need to... I'm in the same boat as you. I'm not a constitutional expert and... in relation to how the laws do actually work. We know what my understanding is that access to abortion and abortion rights is something that's legislated across our states and territories. I think what we did see was other parts of legislation that may be able to, if you like, impact or interfere with this, such as the Religious Discrimination Bill.
Yes.
Where that was less about actual legislating abortion rights or the decriminalising of abortion, but it was potential in the Religious Discrimination Bill, for instance, to give organisations and individuals the right to refuse services, the right to support women's rights, the rights to support lots of different people's rights. So I'm not an absolute constitutional expert, as I say, but my understanding is that I think other parts of Commonwealth legislation potentially impact on people's rights to access services and those sorts of things.
I think you've answered this question, but one of our listeners asks, do you believe that this might give the conservative movement greater inspiration to start lobbying MPs here in Australia and create some sort of a momentum now?
Well, I think that is absolutely a potential issue that may emerge, and I think it's why, you know, women across Australia, we're standing in solidarity with women in America, but we're also actually making it really clear to all of our politicians, both state and federal, that this is not up for debate. This is not the time to be actually wavering. This is the time to stand up, stand tall, and to make sure that the rights of women to legally access abortion across Australia, that they are absolutely protected and that they are absolutely maintained, and the focus should be on improving access. But
I'm going to change the topic because we haven't got too much time left, but if I can change the topic just slightly, if I can, Diane. Exclusionary zones. What's happening with exclusionary zones here in Victoria at the moment?
Do you mean safe access zones?
Yes. Correct. Maybe we need to explain to our listeners what that means, actually.
Okay. In 2013, Victoria introduced safe access zones, and essentially they protected the rights of women to access services without being without fear of harassment or vilification out within the, basically within the vicinity of where the facility was. So people may remember that prior to 2013 at one of the clinics, a security guard was actually killed. And that led to significant reform where now there are, if you want to call them exclusionary zones, but safe access zones, which do not enable people to protest outside of sexual and reproductive health services within a 150 metre zone of the facility. Again, what we're doing is we're making it's legal, and it needs to be safe for women to access these services and for the providers who are providing them.
And unencumbered, absolutely. Yeah. I have seen all sorts of behaviours taking place outside the service that I used to drive past most mornings on my way to work on in East Melbourne on Wellington Road. Look, there is another question here from one of our listeners, and I don't know the state of play here, so you might be able to shed some light. Essentially, abortion is available privately. Is it available through our public hospital network system at the moment?
So in Victoria, there's a number of different ways that women can access abortion. There are two types of abortion that women can have. One is a medical termination of pregnancy, which requires taking some drugs, and one is a surgical termination. Medical terminations are available to women up to 9 weeks of pregnancy, and surgical terminations are available to women throughout the whole period, but it is legal to access an abortion up to 24 weeks in Victoria and possibly beyond that in other circumstances. Term abortion services are available in the public system. They're available in the private system. They're available through some of our community health services. They're available through GPs. So GPs can provide access to medical terminations of pregnancy, where there's also the availability of telehealth. Not all of our public hospitals provide access to surgical termination, but many of them do. And if women are looking for services, 1-800-MY-OPTIONS is the Victoria's statewide phone line. We provide pathways to sexual and reproductive health services, including contraception and pregnancy options, which is abortion services. So if you're looking for a service, we have provided services to over 19,000 women over 4 years. We can help you find the service that's right for you and that best meets your needs. We do have significant access issues. It is not universal. We do need to get to a point where this becomes a standard part of healthcare, and any woman, no matter what her circumstance, no matter what her background, should be able to get a safe and affordable and accessible service.
And are we talking about both medical and surgical, or just medical?
Medical is very convenient, but for some women, they may not choose to take up a medical abortion. We absolutely need to be making sure that we have the full spectrum of services available for all women, wherever they live and wherever their circumstances. We know that women with whose language is other than English, that they may struggle to get information that's both in a format that's accessible and also that potentially culturally appropriate. We know that women with a disability struggle to get sexual and reproductive health services that they need because of biases and assumptions about what they might need, and also that services are not accessible for them in a way that meets their needs. We know that lots of women, over 40% of our callers at 1-800-MY-OPTION, cite financial barriers to being able to access services. So we also need to think that we need a raft of services that are free.
Diane, thank you very much for your time. Yeah. We've actually run out of time, unfortunately. I'm just going to repeat that contact detail. 1-800-MY-OPTIONS is the number that you can call. That's a 24/7 service, I presume?
We have people on the phone lines Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, but you can leave a message and you can also access the online database where you can search for services.
Fantastic, fantastic. 1-800-MY-OPTIONS. That was Diane Hill, who's the Chief Executive of Women's Health Victoria. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thanks very much, Matt.
Great conversation
to
have
you this morning.
And great to meet you.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.